Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging on to the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. And now, I invite you to stay tuned for my teaching, True Riches, from Luke chapter 16. Just a few weeks ago, we received a batch of recent listener reports from Transworld Radio. One of those reports was from our Hausa language broadcast in northern Nigeria. In the months of April, May, and June, there were 1,263 individual responses to our weekly broadcast in that language. That's almost 100 responses per broadcast. One of the most exciting statistics included in that report was this one. 73 people said they had made a decision to follow Christ. 73 souls snatched from the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of light. Praise God. Let's pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, grant us now your grace and the enabling of your Holy Spirit as we open the Word together. Open our spiritual eyes so we may behold the wonders of your truth. Fan the flame of our hearts to seek you with our whole being, spirit, soul, mind, and strength. This I pray in the precious name of Jesus, our Redeemer. Amen. Many years ago, in my junior high school English class, we had a weekly vocabulary test. Now, I've always enjoyed words and reading, and so I did well on those tests. Some of my friends, not so much. And they soon discovered that the teacher was careless about keeping test sheets hidden from their prying eyes. We had a split session class. We had half the class before lunch and half of it after lunch. The test was given on the same day every week in the first part of the class, and then we'd all go to lunch. The teacher carelessly left the tests and the answer sheet lying on her desk, so some of my friends would come back early from lunch and correct their tests. Now, I didn't have a desire to cheat on vocabulary tests because I enjoyed them, but my friends needed a lookout in the hallway to make sure they wouldn't be surprised by the teacher in the act of correcting their tests. And I'm ashamed to say that even though I knew better, I sometimes served as their lookout. Why did I do it? First, I wanted their approval and acceptance. I wanted to be a part of the group. I also wanted to secure their cooperation if I ever needed help to get out of a tough spot. You see, I was thinking ahead. How could they repay me for the help I gave to them, although I wasn't really helping them? I can think of one incident where they did help me out of a predicament. I hope my confession doesn't shock you. I don't make excuses for my behavior. It was wrong, and I acknowledge it. As human beings, we are all prone to sin, and the Word of God teaches us how to deal with that inherent sinfulness and to find forgiveness for it. The Word of God also presents human beings striving to live godly lives with all their faults and weaknesses and failures. It's an accurate picture of our humanity. In our continuing study of Luke's Gospel, we come to chapter 16. In the first part of this chapter, Jesus tells a parable about an unfaithful steward. As parables go, some feel this one is among the most difficult to decipher. But let's keep two things in mind. First, parables are designed to teach one main point. Second, don't separate the parable from its context. If we follow these two principles, I believe we will understand that Jesus is teaching his disciples how to acquire true riches. So that's what I've titled our study, True Riches. Now please listen carefully as I read our text, Luke chapter 16 and verses 1 to 13. That's Luke 16, 1 to 13, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. He also said to his disciples, "There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward.' Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.' So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." In this text, Jesus introduces several disciplines that will help us acquire true riches. Before we begin to unpack this text, let's think some about the context and the setting. First, the context. The larger context is a continuation of a dialogue that began in the house of a Pharisee all the way back at the beginning of chapter 14. Jesus' teaching in these chapters reveals the nature and the characteristics of his kingdom. Another key to understanding this parable is remembering who is in Jesus' audience. The more immediate context is Jesus' teaching on the prodigal God and his gracious forgiveness to those who truly repent. As we look at the disciplines that help us to acquire true riches, we'll make some connection with this context. Now, the setting Jesus uses for his parable was clearly understood by his listeners. But we're separated from that time by about 2,000 years, and their culture is foreign to us. It was common in that day for wealthy landowners to rent out smaller tracts of land to individual tenants. The tenants worked the land, and the rental charge was usually in the form of the produce from the land. In the parable I just read, the rental fee was olive oil and wheat. Most wealthy men, then and now, don't want to do the day-to-day, hands-on work of management, so they hire others to do it for them. In this setting, the steward is a highly trusted individual whose responsibility is to see that the landowner prospers. As we will see, he's free to enter into contractual agreements with the tenants. And so the more successful the steward is, the more successful the wealthy landowner will be. And finally, let's also remember that we're dealing with a culture that makes choices based on the contrasting principles of honor and shame. These few details, I believe, will make it easier for us to understand what Jesus is saying. The first discipline in acquiring true riches is the discipline of being farsighted. Our text opens with the steward being accused of wasting his master's possessions. Now this same word is used to describe the actions of the wayward son in chapter 15 and verse 13. It says, he wasted his possessions with his profligate living. Here the verb tense tells us this wasting of resources was continuing even as the accusation of his unfaithfulness reached the master's ears. So the landowner calls the steward in and he demands an accounting of his stewardship because he's about to be fired. The widespread knowledge of the steward's failure has brought great shame to the landowner. People will conclude he's not a good judge of character or he would have never hired this man. And the steward is immediately faced with a dilemma. What's he going to do? Having worked in a cushy office job and living an extravagant lifestyle, he's just not well suited for manual labor. And since the accusation of his wrongdoing is well known, no other landowner is going to hire him as their steward. The only other option open to him is begging. The shame that accompanies that possibility horrifies him. And so at first glance, he has no good options. But then he has an idea. He will ingratiate himself with his master's debtors. He will do something for them that will obligate them to come to his aid when he loses his position. So he calls in the first debtor and he inquires about the agreement he had with the landowner. The first tenant's agreement is for 100 measures of olive oil, about 700 gallons. So he tells the man to take his agreement and alter the amount to 50 measures. Now remember, he's still the steward. He still has authority to transact business for his master. He hasn't yet been fired. So he accepts this new contract that reduces the amount by half. The second tenant's agreement is for 100 measures of wheat, or about 1,000 bushels. So he tells this man to take his agreement and change the amount to 80 measures. Then he accepts this contract, reducing the amount owed by about 200 bushels. Now both of these actions will result in significant financial benefit to the tenants, and that's just what the steward planned. He was the bearer of good news. When he is finally expelled from his position, he has a group of people who owe him some favors. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, True Riches. The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this complete teaching on true riches. We'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, True Riches. It's available in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto that site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study on true riches. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.